Well, people have accused me in the past of being firmly ensconced in my own echo chamber. Although today, I'm going to do something to prove them wrong, whether I like it or not. A gentleman who is associated with what he calls the Liberal Sanity Project is reaching out to the red-pilled side, I guess in hopes of bringing them to reason. I don't know. First off, tell me what you want to establish about the Liberal Sanity Project.
As in what my channel is and what my goals are?
Sure.
Well, it is just that, to bring a dose of liberal sanity to the world. I think if your idea of a good president is Trump, you're probably in need of a good dose of sanity. And I think if your idea of a viable candidate in an election was Bernie Sanders, you also are in need of a good dose of liberal sanity. So I'm trying to toe the line between what a basic centrist Democrat is, but I think I'm pretty liberal in my views. The goal is to just hammer out the details, because I think when you really push people, you're going to find they're more liberal than they're willing to admit.
How so?
Well, take basic Enlightenment principles, right? The freedom of speech. We all believe in the freedom of speech. You'll find I'll give a healthy amount of pushback to liberals who try to deplatform things. But the original people who did deplatforming was conservatives. The original social justice warriors were conservatives. They had problems with gays being on TV, for example.
Who are you referring to in specific? Do you have anybody in mind?
Well, you can think of somebody like Paul Ryan as the most direct example of this kind of social justice conservative. But or if you want somebody within the social media sphere, think of somebody like Mike Cernovich.
I think Mike Cernovich is a contrarian. I don't know if he's a quote-unquote homophobe.
I didn't say homophobe. I said right-wing social justice warrior.
Oh, okay. Well, I see dealing with him on my side more often than you do. I see him more as a contrarian who's constantly nitpicking the arguments on his own side, from Alex Jones to what's his name, Ben Shapiro. Yeah. I think he nitpicks. He tries to cherry pick, you know, little things. So.
I don't miss that evaluation. I disagree with this idea, though, that he's a free speech warrior who is above these SJW tactics when he does things like dig up Sam Cedar's old tweets and try to get him fired from his job over them.
No, that's exactly what social justice warriors do. That's kind of what got the ball rolling, isn't it?
Yeah, basically.
Now, who did he try to get fired?
Sam Cedar from YouTube.
Sam's, that sounds familiar. What did he go by?
Sam Cedar. It's the Minority Report.
Okay. No, I lost that one. Well, what if these things, like what you're using as an example with Mike Cernovich, is a response to behavior that has already been exemplified by SJWs on the left? I mean, all's fair in war. Once you've launched a salvo at somebody, I mean, they're going to respond in kind. Is that possible, do you think?
Do I think that's likely?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Do I think that makes it okay? No, I think it makes you a raging hypocrite. I mean engaging the reader you. I think when you constantly are on snowflake patrol as somebody on the right, and then you get triggered by a Sam Cedar tweet, you lose the high ground.
Now, I want to back up, because we haven't even established what we're going to be firmly arguing here.
If I may, because what kicked this off was a Twitter disagreement about who the bigger threat to the world is between the alt-right and the leftist social justice warriors.
Well, there was a little bit before that. We were talking about what someone owes to their audience, like Andy Worski was the big example. You felt that he was platforming the far alt-right way too much. Given
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say irresponsibly.
Okay, so he wasn't challenging them enough on points.
Yeah, Destiny platforms the alt-right all the time. He challenges them plenty. If you're going to bring these guys onto your show and you're not going to challenge them on anything, then what do I need you for? Why wouldn't I just go and listen to what they have to say on their own?
Mm. Okay. No, that's right. So basically, as things you know progressed, we're kind of arguing about whether Andy Worski owes that to his audience to call these guys out, or if it's just to have an entertaining conversation. The latter is the position I took, and you felt that because it was not what he typically did in giving a voice to that he was violating his own formula. Is that right?
To some degree, you do owe some things to your audience, and to some degree, you also need room for experimentation. I think you should measure audience feedback, right? These are the people who support you financially in addition to spiritually, right? Like, Andy Worski has money into this. So I think he needs to listen to the feedback of the people who pay him.
I don't totally disagree with that. What I found funny is that we agreed to come on here and talk, you know, and based on that, and then you threw me this curveball that, oh, by the way, the discussion is going to be about who's more dangerous, the alt-right or the SJWs. Now, I'm game for that. I just wanted to point out that was kind of a curveball, like, for you to change up the goalposts, and you said, let's do it on your show, but then you told me what the topic was. Now, I mean, you know, it's no big deal. I just wanted to point that out.
Fair enough. We can go where you want to go, but I think if we were stuck in the minutia talking about Andy Worski and what his obligation is to his audience, we're never going to come to an agreement. And like you said, you want a productive conversation. I think that is the worst way to go about a productive conversation.
I absolutely agree that it's minutia in comparison to the larger subject we're talking about here. And I think it's a fine choice to base a show on. So with that being said, maybe we should... First, we should outline just who the most prominent threats are for each of our sides. Like, who keeps us awake at night, or maybe not keeps us awake at night, but makes us shudder for the future on each side. And I'll let you go first, I guess.
Well, you mean on my side, on the liberal side, the people who make me shudder are the people who my sanity project is primarily directed at. And it's liberal identitarians, people who break down their identity, and I'm sorry.
That's all right. I can edit it out if you need to take a call.
No, I'm turning that off.
Gotcha. Go ahead.
I didn't realize that was on.
All right.
My idea of a threat to the liberal side are the identitarians who see issues everywhere where is not necessarily an issue. And they try to capitalize on these issues in a way that is disingenuous. And I can give you an example of this that I most recently pointed out in my video. And it's what's that? Say something?
No, I'm listening.
Okay. In my most recent video, I gave an example of Roy Moore as an example of somebody who was, you know, he's guilty of sin as far as I'm concerned on anything else. But when it came to him thinking slavery was okay, this was an example of a quote taken severely out of context and twisted in a way that it was just a mangled body of what it was before. So the biggest threat on my side are people who don't pay attention and who share shit.
Yeah, we both have some blame there, right? Both our sides do.
Yeah, everyone does it. You have to be responsible with it. I'm a little guilty of this myself because all I had to go on was the knee-jerk reaction, the same thing as anyone else did. And then when I found the full audio, I mean, I made it very clear in that last video, if you watched my last video, that this is an example of words being taken and twisted. But as an example of words not being taken and twisted, I gave Donald Trump's shithole remark, which I thought was pretty much exactly what he said. Like, it's so Trumpian, and you've got several people from both sides in the White House, Republican and Democrat, affirming that Trump, in fact, says this sort of a thing. So, I don't know. On your side, I would imagine the issue is identitarians as well.
You said in previous discussions that you're more worried about people who want you kicked out of your house, I believe.
Yes.
Are you – I don't know much about you beyond the Liberal Sanity Project. Are you a minority? Are you someone
yes.
who's... You are.
Okay. Yes, I'm Hispanic.
Okay. Are you...
So this is why... This is the ultimate fear of the alt-right, is they envision a world that we have seen before. Think Nazi Germany, circa 1940. We know what a world dominated by white identitarians looks like, and it looks like people being forced from their homes.
Rounded up, told that it's just temporary until they can find better housing somewhere else, right? And then before sure. they know it, you know, the ovens and everything.
This is the idealized world of the Richard Spencers, right? They want an ethno state, and I don't fall into their idealized ethno state. So, and you got people, you've got voices on this side that are very prominent and scary, who think they are more entitled to the country they don't live in than the country I do. And I give you Tara McCarthy as an example of this, of somebody who thinks that America should be established as a white ethno state and Hispanics should be forced out of the country at threat of a gun. Okay.
All Hispanics, all Hispanics has. Or just undocumented ones or.
Well, I think if it's an ethno state, it's all Hispanics, right?
I don't support that. I honestly think that the ethno state, it's not a subject that I really care about as far as wanting it. I think that it's okay to be proud of a Caucasian heritage.
Sure.
Same as it is Hispanic heritage.
Yeah. The issue is taking it a step further.
Yeah. Has Richard Spencer actually advocated for the things that we typically associate with Nazi Germany, though? I mean, no, he won't come out and say it, but has he hinted at things that could be gradually, you know, incrementally accelerated to the degree that it could become Nazi Germany? Give me some examples.
An entire ethnostate could be accelerated to the point of Nazi Germany. Yeah, he has said, and I believe this happened in his Sargon debate, that something to the effect that he advocates for an ethnostate, but it wants to be a peaceful transition where we pay people to leave. Okay.
Well, that happened in Nazi Germany, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, and what happened with the people who didn't leave? So, I mean, that is progression, right?
I don't have to tell you what happened to them. I mean, yeah.
Precisely. That's how I see the progression. It's like, you're going to pay me to leave the only country I've ever known? I'm not leaving. So what's the next step? You force me out? Like, that's what's so scary about these people. And for all the bitching I do about liberal social justice warriors, believe me, I do bitch about them. Leftists have problems in so far as social justice goes and political correctness goes, but they are not advocates of kicking me out of my home at the point of a gun.
Would you say that Israel is an ethno state? Because I mean, I heard the waiting list is pretty long for people who are not Jewish getting into that country, even if you're converted. I don't know.
On paper, to some degree. I mean, but you have Palestinian Arabs living there, right? Like, you have people who are there who do not fall under the ethnostate guidelines. And as such, because Israel is intent on being an ethnostate, it is dominant. It is a place of culture clash. It's a place of violence and tension. It's not a harmonious relationship. And a lot of Israel's policies have to do with that. Hmm. And I'm not saying that none of the blame lies with the terror fringes in Islam, because of course it does. But Israel is not exactly helpful in a situation when they want an ethnostate. Hmm. But although, again, it's a matter of how you define an ethnostate. If your idea of an ethnostate is a state dominated by a majority ethnicity, well, then the United States is already an ethnostate. It's majority white. Right? You'll find most places that have a majority ethnicity of some kind or another. But that's not what Richard Spencer's idea is.
What do you think Richard Spencer... I mean, I know he wants a white ethnostate and everything, but what exactly has he stated that gives you pause, that worries you? Like, I'm trying to find the right words. What about people who don't want to leave? If his vision were to come about, what would happen to those who said, you know, but I love America?
Well, he did say in this story in the Washington Post that I can dig up for you, something to the effect that this the whole prospects of an ethnostate is likely to garner mass amounts of bloodshed, but such is the case with any majority conflict. His way out in this is constantly saying, well, I don't advocate for violence. But it doesn't fly. You know, you can't have an ethno-state without violence because I'm not leaving. And this is going to be what you're going to find with anybody else living here. They're not leaving. So either you're forcing them out or it's not an ethno-state.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it can't just be liberals on your – liberals, you know, the overreactive liberals that trouble you, that you can pin down the insanity with. Like, and of course, you've named Richard Spencer. Is there anyone else that you would pin the alt-right – you know, badge on?
As is there anybody else I would call alt-right?
Who comprises the alt-right the most to you, like, besides Richard Spencer? I mean, there has to be another figurehead that troubles you.
There's several figureheads. Richard Spencer is just the cleanest dressed one.
Okay.
But you've got people like Mike Enoff. You've got people like Edgy Sphinx on Twitter. You have several people who are very sympathetic to the idea of or outright advocates of the alt-right. You've got the people from Stormfront, and this is why I was so critical of the Worski thing, calling, you know, Worski their new it boy. You got people on Stormfront who say that Jews need to be exterminated. Right? So I can point to people, Jason Kessler, for example, who I would associate with the alt-right. These are all people, but I have no chance of moving them to my side. They're never gonna listen to Sanity. If you were that prescribed to the idea of an ethno-state, you're too far gone. So my idea is to get people, hopefully like you, with a good dose of Sanity.
Okay. I have heard it said, and not just from the Alex Jones types, from people in that movement who I occasionally talk to on here, because my curiosity knows no bounds, okay?
Yes.
I hope that doesn't alarm you, but I do occasionally talk to that element, and I want to talk to more people like you, but I have heard it said from some people who have a better idea than me that it is quite possible that Richard Spencer and Jason Kessler are both COINTELPRO agents.
Liberal plants, yeah.
Now, I don't know how much, you know, leeway to give that. I don't know if it's bullshit, but...
Let's play something called Occam's Razor. How much leeway do you think you should give to that?
Well, you know, there is a precedent for COINTELPRO, dude. I mean, you think that intelligence agencies with outrageous amounts of resources can't pull off a sophisticated stage play for the media?
I'm sure they can. Let me get to... Well, I mean, let's try to figure this out. Are you suggesting that liberals planted people like Richard Spencer to advocate for an ethno-state?
Not necessarily liberals. No, not liberals. Government, intelligence agencies.
So you think our intelligence agencies want an ethno-state?
Well, I don't think that other people do. I don't. I've never seen enough to support it. But okay. Kessler sure did bungle that Unite the Right thing pretty bad, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did.
I mean, big time. Now, I'm not saying that he wanted that violence to happen and that if he was a sleeper agent for the CIA or something, that he wanted, you know, they wanted all that to happen.
Yeah.
But maybe it got out of control. And I'm just playing devil's advocate here because I have heard it said. And come on, dude, the intelligence agencies are, I mean, they're constantly... doing one, showing you one thing with one hand and hiding the other behind their back. I mean, there is a precedent for these kind of weird operations. I mean, it's not just like 8 o'clock p.m. on the X-Files type stuff. Now, I will say that I don't necessarily believe that they are sleeper agents for the FBI or CIA, but I'm just throwing it out there to gauge, you know, your reaction. Obviously, you think it's crazy, and that, I accept that.
Yes. Here's my reaction at large. If you are telling me that intelligence agencies occasionally lie to people, that's what they do. They're intelligence agencies. I don't disagree. But I also know that stupid people exist, and I think it's more probable that Richard Spencer and Jason Kessler are just stupid people.
I do find it a little annoying that when Richard Spencer has the microphone to speak at, say, a university or something, that yes. They won't let him fall on his face, as was pointed out by one student who stood calmly. You know, he said, Let him reveal his stupidity. Don't talk, don't shout him down. Let him reveal his own stupidity. Now, that's more in line with freedom of speech, isn't it?
Sure. But I don't think freedom of speech necessarily means you're entitled to every platform. Hmm. Like, Richard Spencer can still say whatever he wants. Why is he entitled to do it at a school? You know, with students that don't want him there. But that's not necessarily saying they should deplatform him. But consider this. Consider the prospect of having Richard Spencer speak at your school. Richard Spencer goes to speak at your school and a riot breaks out because this figure is so controversial, so insightful, so awful. He's basically, I mean, he is. He's Milo Yiannopoulos. He's Milo Yiannopoulos with a different haircut. Why should a school incur those kinds of damages on itself?
What if they hired more security?
Why do they have to hire more security? Hmm. Like, Richard Spencer, I'm not an advocate of deplatforming people, and I think students should genuinely want people at the university who are going to speak at university. Hmm. Universities is where you go to hear opinions that aren't yours. You should have your ideas challenged at university.
Okay, that's good, yeah.
But this idea that everybody is entitled to any platform they want is bullshit. It doesn't fly in the face of freedom of speech. Richard Spencer can still say whatever he wants.
You know what? Okay, I'm glad that you're coming at it from this angle, because I actually saw an instance with, and I don't remember the person's name, Zoki Maki or something, this Satanist, for lack of a better word, drag queen who read to kindergartners and had the really weird antler mm-hmm. thing on her head. I don't think there's any room for that in a kindergarten class. I mean, unless it's Halloween, and then maybe. But I don't think that there was any cause for that. Now, would you agree that that individual did not have a right to that classroom? I mean, they were allowed to because of Michelle Obama.
Yeah, I'll agree with that instantly. You don't have a right to somebody else's classroom.
Okay, great. Well, that's a fair trade. I can go with that. I still haven't told you who keeps me up at night, though.
Yes, I'm listening.
Did you have any more to name? You said no, edgy. Did you say edgy Sphinx?
As an example of somebody from the alt-right, yes.
Okay. Well, quickly, my list of SJWs that I feel are a direct danger would include, obviously, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Planned Parenthood, Linda Sarsour, and I would say the Clintons, but they are effectively done, dead in the water. Now, which one were you laughing at?
I'm laughing at all of them, mate.
Okay, why?
Well, firstly, I don't think Antifa's SJWs are an anarchist group.
What? Wait. You don't think that Antifa are SJWs? That's the foundation of my hatred of SJWs. Have they not proclaimed themselves socialists? I saw one with a flag of a sickle and a hammer brandishing.
But you can't be a socialist and an anarchist, right?
No.
It's like, I'm a Buddhist Christian. Those are two things that are contradictory. Socialism requires a state. Anarchism doesn't. So they can't be that.
Do you consider Antifa a threat?
I consider them a threat tactically to the left. I consider them a bit of an annoyance. They make us look bad.
That's fair.
It's not that I disagree with their ideas in that they are anti-fascistic. Everybody should be anti-fascist. But their tactics make the left look bad. And this is why I'd really rather they not get affiliated with the left, because they're not even left in the traditional sense. They're anarchists. Hmm. So, I mean, think Hillary Clinton and think Antifa. You think Antifa's a fan of Hillary Clinton?
Well, they weren't. They're not a fan of Trump. Who are you suggesting they voted?
They're not a fan of anybody. They're anarchists.
Do you really think they're all anarchists, though?
Yes.
Do you know anybody who is affiliated with Antifa, either jokingly or for real?
I think I do, but I've never brought it up enough to ask.
Okay. I don't know, man. I saw one of them brandishing a sickle and hammer flag,
yeah,
saying that he believed in communism. Well, now, whether he was doing that to troll or not, I don't know. But he was older, and he said that he had run out Nazis and skinheads from Oregon in the 80s before, that he had seen, you know, fascism rising before. I don't consider anyone today a Nazi. My grandfather took care of that in World War II. I would say pseudo-Nazis, but it's semantics. I get it.
Yes. It seems a little pedantic to go onto that. Like, why would you consider Antifa communists, right? There's no communist government.
Hmm. Well, what about China?
By the same logic both ways, wouldn't you?
What about China?
They're pretty damn capitalist these days.
Hmm.
So I'd say communist in name only. But here's a funny thought experiment. Think of the guy you saw with that hammer and sickle flag. Hmm. Now think of the political power that guy wields.
None.
And reason honestly, it's probably none, right?
Right. That's why he brandished such an outlandish flag to begin with, is to communicate his outrage, I guess, right?
Okay. I saw Nazis marching in Virginia carrying Nazi flags. And I'm not going to play a pedantic game. These guys were carrying Nazi flags. They do Nazi salutes. They believe in an ethnostate. They are Nazis. The president called them very fine people. I think they wield greater political power.
They were not all Nazis.
Sure, some of them were Klansmen.
Well, not all of them were Klansmen either, because I had a girl on as a guest who, around that time frame, I spoke to her before and after Unite the Right, and Antifa and Black Lives Matter were at it, working at it hard that day to pin those people in and, you know, force a confrontation. They were throwing feces. They were, you should see this one kid's face, Jason Bomber. He's going to have facial reconstructive surgery. They were hitting people with bricks. And I know that you consider what happened to Heather Heyer a massacre. I think a massacre requires, you know, more deaths than one. But that kid...
I think one death is too many.
Oh, that's true. But Jamie Alexander Fields,
yes.
The driver of the car, you know, people were attacking that car with bats and bricks.
Okay.
I mean, do you find that troubling at all?
I don't think that anybody was attacking that car with bats and bricks.
I saw footage of it.
Really? Send that to me.
Okay.
I'd love to see that, because what I saw was a car in immaculate condition speeding towards a crowd.
Hmm.
I'll send you the footage of that if you
like. We'll trade after the show, yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of the girl you had on, I don't know this girl,
yeah,
and I don't want to call her a liar. I'm not that malicious, but I think she's mistaken if she thinks that Antifa and Black Lives Matter were the ones who were being confrontational. I got a story from the Washington Post about this event that I used in a video, and that basically said that the police had dividing lines to keep the protesters separate to discourage any amount of violence, and the white supremacists went back on that deal.
Deal. Well, from what I have understood, and from what that girl told me, these people, the police were ordered to step down, as in not do anything. Have you heard that story?
I don't know how valid it is, but I've heard that.
Okay, keep going.
After you, sir.
Well, why are people playing in the streets to get run over? Do you think that there's some personal responsibility to be had, that if you're standing in front of a moving car, that, you know, you're probably running the risk of getting run over? Now,
I think if you're running over somebody in a crowd that big, you're either doing it intentionally or you're Ray Charles. And since Ray Charles is dead and he can't drive, I have no reason to assume that it wasn't intentional. The sidewalks are 8 feet wide at the most. This was a crowd of thousands.
He wasn't driving on the sidewalks, though, was he?
No, he...
He was trying to get away. He was in fear for his life.
He was indeed driving in the road when he ran into a crowd of people to kill them.
He was in fear for his life.
How do you think what he was in fear of?
I know I can just put myself in that situation, and if I saw a crowd of people trying to block me, you know, in... and they were wielding all these weapons, and they did have bricks and bats. I mean, the video footage is there.
Yes.
I mean, and not only that, but Baked Alaska had been damn near blinded earlier that afternoon, and he wasn't even initiating any violence. They just came up and side-blinded him and just maced him with some I don't know if it was acid or bear mace or some combination or what, but that guy yes. legitimately went to the hospital. And Governor Terry McAuliffe had the nerve to say, no one went to the hospital. It's unfortunate that Heather Heyer died, but no one went to the hospital. When I can point out Jason Bomber went to the hospital because his face was smashed in with a brick. And not only that, but on the other side, Deonder Harris, who was there, I guess, representing Black Lives Matter or... I don't know what, but he was involved in a skirmish in a parking lot, and he was all bloodied. Okay. So he went to the hospital. Baked Alaska went to the hospital. There were a lot of people going to the hospital, and Governor Terry McAuliffe tried to downplay it, brush under the rug, and say, no one went to the hospital. It wasn't as bad as people think it was.
Well, somebody died. I think it's worse than they think it was.
That's what I'm saying. There was the government, the local government was trying to downplay the incident. When they're just as responsible. I understand that they tried to play this political game with the permit to assemble. And okay. at the last minute, a judge granted them the permission to assemble there, right?
Yes.
Now, why didn't the opponents of these people have to apply for a permit?
They did apply for a permit.
They did.
Granted the permit.
Okay.
I can send you that link to that as well if you'd like.
I'll
make all sources available.
Not because I don't believe you, but because that will be very helpful in the future.
Sure.
Okay. So,
Your assertion is that there was violence on both sides, I don't disagree. It's hard to disagree with what there's footage of.
Mm-hmm.
But your assertion also seems to make the white supremacists out as victims, and I'm sorry, I couldn't disagree with more. These people showed up with clubs and shields and were marching in the street saying, Jews will not replace us and blood soil. It seems pretty clear to me that they wanted violence.
Now, I'll be honest with you. The blood and soil thing, I misread that at first. I thought that it was in reference to Thomas Jefferson's admonition that occasionally the roots of roots of liberty have to be replenished with the blood of tyrants. Stupid me. That was naive of me to think. And yeah, that kind of imagery was... I told the girl when we spoke after Unite the Right, I told her, you know, I do not think that this is the answer to what ails America. I told her very clearly that I don't think National Socialism is the answer to what ails America. Now,
well, what is the answer?
Well, hang on. We'll get to that. I mean, hopefully. But, I mean... If we had that, we wouldn't need to talk here. If we had that laid out right now, right? I don't think that brandishing these kinds of symbols from the past are necessarily the right thing, you know, for America. National Socialism. My grandmother escaped from Nazi Germany, so you know I'm all in with you there. But the thing is that hang on, I lost my train of thought. Okay.
Take your time, sir.
Yeah. Okay, so we were talking about Unite the Right and the girl who I talked to.
Yes.
These kind of symbols, you know, they had to have known, you know, that this was bad optics. I've heard that term used up and down, you know, the trail with these people. Bad optics, you know, we should have known better and everything. If they wanted to go there, because originally the whole spirit of the event was that they were supposed to be protesting the removal of a Civil War monument, and it very quickly escalated to become nothing about that, right?
I don't think it ever was about that, but that's
well,
not...
Yeah, you're probably not wrong there. Richard Spencer is a very, you know, silver-tongued devil, you know?
He sure is.
Yeah. But if they wanted to go there with American flags... You know, that would make more sense for what they claimed to be there for. And I think that girl learned a very valuable lesson, if I'm to be honest. I don't think she associates with a lot of those people anymore. But I think that she got scared out of her wits. I think
yes.
that a lot of those people came there armed because they expected their opponents to be armed. Now, you admitted, you gave me that earlier, that, you know, there was violence on both sides. And I appreciate you giving me that inch because... But why did Trump catch so much flack when he said the same thing to the media? He said it was both sides.
Because one side's more responsible than the other.
Okay.
And this we have Nazis marching in the streets. It seems pretty clear where the blame should lie. These, you know, he's defending, you know, he calls it the alt-left attacking people violently. You know, people see Nazis and they recoil. So this was a failure of leadership on Trump's part. You know, a young girl died. This was not an equal application of political violence, and everybody's at fault. A girl's dead. And she's dead from the alt-right.
Why would you stand in front of a moving car, though? That's where does personal responsibility come in? Because, yeah, maybe he
could. Why would you drive into somebody? Where does personal responsibility come in then?
Well, what if he was in fear for his life?
I think we know he wasn't. You want to go over the footage?
I've seen the footage.
Okay, then what are you misunderstanding? Because it seems clear to me that he's accelerating towards a crowd. There's nobody surrounding his car. He's accelerating towards a crowd. He has plenty of options to go to. If he was truly in fear of his life, he could have taken a left turn or a right turn. He accelerated towards a crowd.
What if he didn't know where he was? I mean, the guy's put away for life. You don't have to worry about him anymore. But I just know that in that situation, if I saw a crowd of people that I don't trust on the opposite side trying to block me, and I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do, man.
Sure.
I just don't know.
James Alex Fields is one of those people who showed up with Vanguard America.
That's
holding
true.
A shield in a club.
That's not smart. And
I have no reason to assume that he wasn't there for violence.
I feel terrible for his mom, and I feel terrible for Heather Heyer's mom, because, you know, they're adults from a previous generation who were able to curb their political differences in a more responsible adult manner.
Yes.
I feel bad for both sets of parents, and man,
it's a FUBAR situation.
Yeah. I don't know how close we can get on this situation. Did you say that you knew people from on the left that were there?
No, I don't think I do.
Okay. Because I know, and I knew one person there on the right, and as far as I know, she wasn't going there with National Socialist sentiments. The whole
If I can, here's what I would assume about anybody who does go there. I would assume that whatever story they give you is a self-serving story, left or right.
That's fair. What were some of the other examples I listed that you found laughable that trouble me on my side?
Let me think. Hillary Clinton is a threat as a social justice warrior?
Well, yeah, she molded.
How does Hillary Clinton threaten you?
She created this whole situation, man.
What whole situation?
The whole environment for social justice warriors. The Clinton
Civil Rights Act was passed in 1965. Jim Crow existed for 100 years before then. I think the environment existed for centuries now.
I don't quite get your point, but
well, what is a social justice warrior then? Let's define our terms.
Okay. I thought about this a long time before we got on here. And I'm still not totally sure that I have an answer, which is why I wanted for us to provide examples.
Yes.
Of who we, you know, use that blanket term for, these blanket terms for. I take it that you're someone who does not find much credence in the Clinton body count, although I don't know how you can't, because she's got a lot of dead bodies around her that die way younger than the people around Trump. It's enough to create a... It's enough to create a scenario, a pattern to me.
Okay. What does it have to do with her being a social justice warrior?
I mean, if she's willing to have people killed for to preserve the goals and further the goals of, you know, liberalism?
Well, I think the goals of liberalism and the goals of SJWs are a little different.
Okay, what is the difference?
My idea of a social justice warrior is somebody who takes their belief in social justice to an extreme. Like Oscar So White as a hashtag campaign. These are people who weaponize privilege, right? You know, this is a concept that exists, but instead these people use it as a means to dismiss other people, like dismiss any suffering you might have because you're white. That's my idea of a social justice warrior. I don't think Hillary Clinton dismisses white people. I don't think she has any interest in weaponizing or blaming people or as an advocate of such extreme social justice. A common criticism of her during the campaign was that she wasn't liberal enough. So this idea that she falls under leftist SJWs is patently silly to me, because she had to apologize for calling black people super predators. This is something not, you know, and I think unfairly, but this is something a SJW wouldn't do. Right? The SJW would never call a black person a super predator.
Well, you know, I've had people criticize my friend and I for using the blanket term SJW at all. But I mean, it's a thing to associate with people on the left who we feel are not acting in our best interests and are willing to get their hands dirty to do so. Now, to me, that can define Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Linda Sarsour, GLAAD, Planned Parenthood, the Clintons. Although I do think that the country was better under Bill Clinton in the 90s than it ever would have been under his wife now.
We'll never find that out.
No, but I mean, I'm thankful for that, and I guess you're not, because you...
Of course not.
You're not thankful for that?
Yeah, I would really prefer a Clinton presidency.
See, I think I would have preferred Bernie Sanders if I had to choose between the Democratic candidates. Yeah. Now,
I've received enough heat from my own side for this.
Go ahead.
Well, basically, Bernie Sanders, in my view, is an opportunist. He says populist things that he has to know are stupid ideas. And as an example of this, $15 an hour minimum wage.
Not
this
practical.
This is something – it's a terrible idea, and you'll find plenty of economists who will say so. You know, it's disruptive to the free market. You know, certain labor is valued at a certain price. Now, if you want to say that the minimum wage needs to be raised, I agree. If you want to say that certain labor is undervalued because there is a surplus of labor that suppresses wages, I also agree. I would say that government has a problem subsidizing low wages, basically, that we end up paying for the people that Walmart won't pay enough for. So I don't agree with Bernie Sanders on a lot of things. And Bernie Sanders has to know that some of his ideas are stupid, untenable, and I see him as an opportunist. He's also inexperienced. He only has like 3 bills ever passed in his so many years there. Hillary Clinton is the pioneer of the children's health insurance. So she was more experienced. She had more political weight. You know, she would have been a capable commander in chief. And she's also got a former president by her side to be an advisor. So I mean, I don't see why it was ever so controversial with her.
Oh man, that was 2 years ago. It's getting harder. It's getting harder to
believe me, that year will never end.
No, maybe not. You said that you consider SJWs someone who takes it to extremes, right?
Yes.
But you also said something earlier about how Antifa. How can Antifa be liberal when they're anarchists? Is that right?
No, I think what I asked was how they could be socialists when they're anarchists, or even social justice warriors when they're anarchists. My idea of an SJW is somebody who wants to wield some kind of power in society to push people in this way, and anarchists tend to be really extremely libertarian. So it's weird to me, this idea. Like, Antifa fascist is funny as a term, but it's also a little bit oxymoronic.
They're resorting to fascist tactics in order to oppose fascism, and
I agree.
Blocking the way to.
But the issue is they don't want to wield any kind of state power to push social justice, right? They don't believe in the state, so they can't by definition be social justice warriors.
I think that maybe there's been too much thought put into it. I think we just kind of use it as something when we talk to our friends.
Yes.
And dismiss something that
I think social justice warrior is a terrible term that has basically become overused and weaponized and desaturated and no longer means what it originally means. I think basically now anybody who's a leftist who thinks he shouldn't say the N-word is a social justice warrior to some people.
I mean, they taunt school children, block traffic, attack reporters just because they're associated with Alex Jones. I mean, they circled James O'Keefe like rabid dogs the other night. Would you say that James O'Keefe is someone you don't like?
Absolutely.
Oh, come on, dude. What did he do but expose what they were... Expose, you know, these filthy secrets? I mean...
Well, what's your idea of a filthy secret? I mean, he made it seem... has a history of some very malicious editing. They're, you know, all journalists edit, but not all editing is equally valuable. And I gave you that example of Roy Moore earlier as somebody who was edited in a way that was malicious. It was edited in a way to paint him in a certain light. James O'Keefe does this with liberal organizations all the time. With Acorn specifically, James O'Keefe filmed this person who supposedly wanted to buy underage girls as a means of setting up like a child prostitution ring or give them advice on this. And this guy was getting all these details, right? And he tried to play this up as Acorn's complacency in setting up or condoning child prostitution or human smuggling. Well, that Acorn representative who was fired for this video called the police with the information he received from James O'Keefe. You know, he did a civic duty and he did the right thing. And James O'Keefe went ahead and, you know, the facts didn't matter. He still wanted to play up like that Acorn was a criminal organization. So, you know, yeah, if I'm a conservative, I'm sure I'd love James O'Keefe because he's sticking it to them liberal SJWs. But I also believe in truth, and I think James O'Keefe doesn't. I think he believes in whatever can advance his agenda.
Okay, you mentioned Mike Cernovich as an example as well earlier of someone who resorts to sleazy tactics to discredit people. Do you not take a certain private delight when someone on our side takes a snowball to the face?
Sure, of course. And I'm sure you do the same way in reverse. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be an advocate of it, and I certainly wouldn't do it myself.
So would you say you stand on principle?
I think on this you have to. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Life is filled with choices we have to make where sometimes principle is not always the most immediate concern. Yes. If we have information and we can act on it in a way that will damage our opposition, do we have an obligation to act on that information in whatever way we can or see fit?
Well, it depends on who the obligation is too, doesn't it? Like, if your obligation is to a sense of justice, the answer is no. If your obligation is to a sense of good civic discourse, the answer is no. But if your obligation is to your own side just to win, well, then knock yourself out. But it's why SJWs are so hated. It's because they don't care.
Yeah. It's why we came to hate them. I was a part of a writing community that was overrun with SJWs that swore to God that they... Well, not that they believe in God, but swore that they were not SJWs when, in fact, everything they did involved assassinating the characters of writers they accused without evidence of being sexual predators and such. I mean, it's disgusting. And stay out of people's bedrooms, you know? I mean, unless they're harming a child, I would say that we...
I'd say unless it's relevant, yes.
Or unless they're, you know, raping someone in an alley or something. I don't know. I mean, stay out of people's bedrooms. Everybody's bedrooms are being raided. I mean, it's like the pod people out there, you know?
Yeah.
Something else, and this is a key issue for me, and I'm not sure how you're going to react to this, but I have a huge problem with the LGBTQ community trying to revise biology. I do not believe that some men have vaginas and some women have dicks, and that's an odd thing to be told by people just getting out of high school in the media, that because they've been indoctrinated. I mean, you learn this shit in grade school. Are you for that? Do you group that with liberal insanity, or are you for that?
Why don't you believe there's men with vaginas or chicks with dicks? Like, just Google this. You're going to find plenty of pictures. You're not going to like it, but you'll find that these people exist.
Are you referring to hermaphrodites? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a bit of a joke, but you can get sex reassignment surgery.
Well, yeah, right? So but there are people doing, you know, brandishing these identities and these claims without actually getting the surgery. And I mean, they're going to, this is going to fuck up a lot of young minds. I mean,
not everybody can afford the surgery. So I would say it's probably good not to cast judgment anyway. Like, I mean, think Blair White is somebody who is distinctly feminine as a trans person, right? Like, you would have a hard time misgendering Blair White. And if you didn't know that Blair White was trans, you might be fooled, you know, just seeing her on the street. But some people aren't so lucky so as to afford surgery or to afford hormone therapy. You know, they have to deal with this, the reality that they're in their wrong body all on their own.
Well, I did not have as much of a problem with them until they started pushing back, you know, and labeling me cis, which I have no interest in as a label, just as they don't prefer to be called trannies or, you know, whatever. When you start enforcing pronoun laws, we get into a problem.
I don't think anybody's enforcing pronoun laws. You're still allowed to say whatever pronoun you want.
I talked to someone in Canada who said that it's a deal there.
Okay. It must be, yeah, it's awful, but don't say it then. I mean, you're free to say whatever you want.
Well, I mean, I'm free to call them he or she then, right?
If you want, knock yourself out.
I mean, it might be a dick move,
but you can do it.
I don't think it's a dick move. If I'm not interested in that element of society, I mean, I'm not going to be so familiar with it. And I mean, it's like, you know, I'm just not interested in making that leap with them. You know what I mean? It's not something that interests me. But when you start talking about pronoun laws and how you're going to, you know, you're going to come after me.
What pronoun laws exist?
California, right?
California has a pronoun law?
From what I understand, in the workplace. California or Washington. California or Washington won. And I talked to someone in Canada, had him on as a guest, and he said that things are flat-out Gestapo over there, so...
Really? You think Canada's under the Gestapo?
Well, I mean, in the military, they did say that bestiality was acceptable, did they not? Or was that fake news?
I'm sure that was fake news, but I don't know.
There's so much shit that passes under the radar because of that label fake news that is actually real and worded so professionally and expertly that you can read it and think that it's just you're just misunderstanding. You know,
my recommendation would be to research these things on your own. You'll find a majority of claims like this are bullshit.
I hope so.
I think that what you're thinking is a Bill C-16. You're not going to jail for misgendering anybody in Canada. Canada hasn't lost the rights to free speech. It simply adds transsexual protections to the list of protected classes. It's no different than what we have here with gays, right? Like, you can't discriminate against gays in the workplace, right?
Okay. What is discrimination?
I can't fire you when I find out your boyfriend is named Chuck.
Okay.
Right? So, I mean, there has to be some minimum protections. Or, I mean, you might disagree that there has to be some minimum protections, but I'm just saying that's what these laws are. That's what C-16 was. And I don't know about California or Washington, but I can't imagine that there was ever any law that's going to penalize you, like a penal code law that's going to hurt you for misgendering somebody. I would imagine that you could protest that pretty successfully on First Amendment grounds.
Well, this may shock you, but I have a quote-unquote token gay friend. You know, I used to work with her, and she's never...
Say it ain't so.
Huh?
Say it ain't so. I'm shocked.
I don't know if you're mocking me or not. You probably are, but that's okay.
I'm just playing with you, buddy.
Okay. Well, the thing is, she's never been as loud or obnoxious as a lot of this element tends to be. You know, don't become the stereotype, right?
Okay.
You like I said, stay out of people's bedrooms. But why does it have to be in my face? You know what I mean?
What's in your face?
The loud, obnoxious. You know, you have to address me as she or he. You know, it doesn't work. Okay. People don't like that. People are turned off by that. You can have a good conversation.
By being misgendered intentionally. Why would it? What would it hurt you to just use them by their preferred pronouns?
Well, what if somebody wants to call me by some nickname, you know, and you know, I could be a bad sport about it. I could be a bad sport about it and say, don't call me that. You know, hey. Respect my, you know, sovereignty.
Yes.
Well, but it would be a bad sport. I have had at least 12 nicknames in my lifetime, and I welcomed all of them openly because they weren't, like, something derogatory.
Yes. I would say, like, it's like with nicknames, that's a great example that you're going to occasionally find people who don't have the same kind of thick level skin as you. And that's horrible for them. It's great for you, but not everybody's world experiences are the same. So generally it, you know, my philosophy is, what does it hurt to just use their pronouns? Like, why is this controversial? Just don't be an asshole.
Well, why is it so important to them?
Because that's their identity.
Okay.
Right, Michelle?
Who's Michelle?
You. I'm calling you Michelle.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, I mean, it's my point. Like, if that's not your name and I'm using that to insult you, it gets old. So, I mean, just don't be an asshole. And hey, if you want to be an asshole, knock yourself out. Mm. You got free speech.
It would depend on how they approached me.
Well, I mean, I think if somebody like Blair White approaches you, I don't know what
now, that's an
on
interesting...
how they approach you. I mean, if they make it clear that it's they want to be addressed by a certain pronoun and you intentionally misgender them, it just seems like a dick move.
Blair White would be an interesting dichotomy because she and I agree on a lot.
Oh, hang on. Did you just say she?
Yeah.
Blair White is not a girl. She was born a man.
That's true. She has said as much.
Why are you using her preferred pronouns?
Because she passes.
Okay. Well, great. That's a great example, Ben, because it shows you that this isn't a sacrifice that you necessarily have to make, that you are already clear on this idea that you can address people the way they prefer to be addressed, and it costs you nothing. It hurts nothing, you know. And I think people are upset that people are misgendering people just to be assholes. But I don't think there's any law against that. And if you want to do it, knock yourself out.
Hmm. Tell me this. You said you were Hispanic, right?
Yes.
Have you ever been so mad at a white person that you just said, you fucking honky, or something really derogatory? It's okay.
I'm sure I have. I can't remember specifically.
Okay. Well, it's okay if you have.
I got my best friend's white. We shoot the shit all the time. I think this is the case with anybody. I think the issue is when you weaponize these kinds of things. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. When you're fighting somebody, gloves off, right?
That's the point. That, I mean, it's not a hate crime if you're saying something to get in someone's mind who is, you know, pushing you and pushing you and pushing you and getting in your face. Say, what are you going to do about it, huh? What are you going to do about it? Now, that happens with any minority, any majority, in any sub-culture, right?
Any low IQ people.
Well, some high IQ people engage in it too, right?
Yeah.
All the more so, they'll spar with their wits. But just out of curiosity, and I don't know if you'll want to answer this or not. Are you a citizen of the United States, or are you here on a program? Because I don't know.
I plead the fifth.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I'm a citizen, man.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm a citizen.
Cool.
But I think the fact that I am a citizen and I notice, here's the thing. I can tell you, you know, people who say racism doesn't exist, we had a black president, they can go fuck themselves. Walk a mile in Mexico's shoes. You change your name to that of a Hispanic online, you are going to get some serious fire and hatred from people. I can't count the number of times I've been referred to as an illegal beaner, wetback, and you name the word. So it's just what it is. People are going to use your identity against you. So, you know, I understand social justice warriors to some extent. I understand that social justice warriors, that a collectivist identity makes sense, right? You want to further your own agenda. I mean, if you didn't have a collectivist identity to further an agenda on your behalf, you would never have the civil rights movement, right? Women wouldn't have the right to vote. So it's important to band together on an identity basis to some degree.
So, I mean, did you do this? Did you have been called these things online?
Oh yeah, people are awful.
Well, you know, I used to work with a guy who had a drink thrown on him out as he was walking down, like, a street in town. And these guys just threw something, a drink out the window on him and said, you know, go home, Spick, you know. And it was, you know, and that guy was really nice. I mean, he would give you the shirt off his back.
Yep.
So, now, if that kind of reaction is provoked, if you make someone mad enough, I think anybody will do what they can to get under your skin. But an unprovoked attack like that, you know, that's a sad thing in 2018. It is a sad thing.
Here's a little commentary for you, because I agree on how your response is basically on how you're provoked. But the issue is people... The word provocation, right? It implies an individual's provoking somebody. Okay, but if your personality is centered around an identity, right? A black identity, and every time you're provoked, it's always by somebody white, you're going to associate the white identity with provocation. And this is where liberals lose people that they need to fix. They need to learn how to talk about white people in a way that isn't so antagonistic. And this applies to conservatives too. I mean, think of the word anchor baby. You know, that is an ugly fucking term. But yeah, so it applies besides.
Yeah. Did you migrate here or were you born here?
I was born here.
Okay.
Like you, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
I won the birth lottery.
So I mean, have you been called an anchor baby before?
I'm sure I have, but I can't remember specific times. But
okay. That's a blast.
I mean, anchor babies are citizens, right? They're people who are born here. So, I mean, it's not that different, but it's a word, it's a term reserved specifically for Hispanics, and it's a weaponized term. It's, you know, you wouldn't call somebody on the street an anchor baby, right? Yeah. If you find a Hispanic who's born here but his parents weren't, you don't call him an anchor baby. You know, that's a good way to get punched in the face. It's obviously an insult.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about people crossing the border with this sense of entitlement, though? I mean, that are taking advantage of the resources meant for people like you who are here legally. Do you
have
a sense
of entitlement specifically?
Well, I get to sneak over the border, and they do water drops for me as I'm crossing the border with little messages written on them to encourage me on my journey. I get to sneak over, you know, smuggled in rolls of carpets or in a glove compartment.
That happened once. Yeah, that seems really entitled.
I mean, that happened once. You remember that, right?
Yes, I'm sure.
I mean, did you see the photograph of it?
Yeah, I've seen photographs of people trying to smuggle themselves up. And they get in all sorts of creative ways to get here, which is why I don't understand why you would use a sense of entitlement as a word. It seems more like I get a sense of desperation from that.
Are things that bad?
Yes,
they are.
Would you rather? Do you want to live in Mexico?
No, but I'm more of a mountains forest kind of guy. So
okay, well, Rio de Janeiro has mountains and forest. Would you want to live in Rio?
I don't think so. Not right now. Not as I am right now. No,
it's an
sir. That I would
ship.
I would not last a day.
Precisely. These are places with no opportunity. People live in poverty. People go hungry sometimes. And there's no government. It's corrupt. And they're living under constant threat of violence from cartels, from these drug manufacturers who want them to live under this sort of authoritarian rule. I have nothing but sympathy for these people, and I have to admire the bravery of those who try to cross. There's no legal way to cross, you know. It's hard to become a citizen in this country. So I don't see this as a, you know, entitlement. I see this as desperation, and I don't understand people who can't see the desperation in this. Things are that bad.
Okay. You say that it's hard to become a citizen. Is there a lot of bureaucracy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What sort? Do you know what it entails?
Yes. First, you have to become a permanent resident, which entails getting a green card. But the waiting list on green cards can go back to a decade. even longer for some people. It's difficult to verify the identities of people. Not all of these places you're immigrating from have proper record-keeping systems. And when you are granted that permanent resident status through the green card, you have to have that for at least 5 years to become a citizen. And that's not even mentioning the financial burden that comes with this. It's enormously expensive, and it requires hiring an attorney to sort out the paperwork for you. I couldn't afford an attorney, and I'm a citizen here. I assume this is the same with most people, most average Americans. So, I mean, why would an immigrant afford this? Illegal immigration just makes sense. So I would idealize a world where we fix this as a problem with a better bureaucracy, as opposed to just opening the doors. But the fact is, people are coming here, and we can't kick them all out, so we have to figure out how we're going to handle them.
Yeah. We can't turn a blind eye, though, to the amount of crimes committed by people that are not here as citizens either, though, right?
I would say you don't turn a blind eye to crimes committed by anybody.
Right.
Right.
The problem is that a lot of people feel that they are taken better care of and better represented than those of us who do live here.
Okay, why?
I mean, out of all the notes I took, I didn't think we would get into that, so I did not, delve into that.
How do you feel? Just off the top of your head, do you feel like immigrants who come here are living the high life? These people are under constant threat of deportation. They have to work underground, right? There's no 401k if you're an immigrant, right? That's not the kinds of jobs you get. They work in fields, jobs Americans don't want to work, and they work for subpar wages. What do you think these people are really getting the high life here?
They have better representation.
Representation how?
Than the blue collar middle class, who have to fight. I think that blue collar middle class have to fight and scrounge for everything because they're working for the wealthy, okay? The grunt, they're the lowly grunt, And then you have these people come in, who believe that they are entitled to come here, whether it's out of desperation or not, and then they steal those opportunities and those resources and such and that representation.
Okay, what opportunities and resources?
Are they not afforded better legal representation?
They're not afforded any legal representation.
Social workers, benefits.
No.
Aren't most of them on unemployment or disability or something?
No. To be a citizen for all these things.
Yeah. Like I said, this is one area that I was not able to research.
Sure. I don't mean to put you down on this. This with all due respect. Yeah. But a lot of people are enormously uninformed on this area. And they make – this is a feels over reels kind of thing when people start talking about what immigrants get, right? I feel like immigrants are entitled. I feel like they're getting a free ride here. I feel like I'm being taken advantage of. I feel like they're getting it better. The reality is just not true. That's just not the case. You can't get welfare. You have no legal representation in Congress. This is the reality for most immigrants.
Hmm. I'm going to have to do my homework on that one.
I will provide you the sources on this. Believe me, I've got a whole notebook of just sources for this, and I'll be happy to give them to you.
Okay, let me throw this at you before we go in a different direction, because this is quite a puzzle here that business owners are going to find themselves in. The Attorney General Xavier Becerra is threatening business owners in California that he will come after them if they obey federal immigration law. Which means turning over, speaking up about any, illegal residents or aliens who happen to be in their employ. He has promised to use, states, rights to go after them if they obey federal immigration laws. That's going to put a lot of business owners in quite a pickle because they're either going to disobey the law of the federal law or the state level law. Now, figure that one out.
I would rather get some specifics on that. What law is it they would be accused of violating that the California AG would go after them for?
Dude, if you knew how much stuff that I went through, I've been at this all day, and you might be able to provide your sources like a snap of your fingers, but the way I work is a little bit more chaotic, but I can produce it. If you'll hang on one moment, I will pull up the article that I read. Now, obviously, I don't go to the Washington Post or the New York Times and herald them as something, as a piece of reliable information, or even CNN, because they have been found by James O'Keefe to be embroiled in their own scandals, which I guess comes with the territory of doing business, but...
Well, let's talk about that. Where do you get your news?
Well, I mean, not from places you do. Places that you would try to defame, but these sources speak to me and how I view the world. Obviously, I saw something in these sources that spoke more to my American experience, so I'm going to pursue that more than I am the New York Times, the Washington Post, and such and such. Hang on, I'm trying to find this.
Sure. Well, while you're looking, do you mind a mild criticism?
What's the criticism?
Are you aware of something? Confirmation bias.
Meaning that I'm going to accept whatever Steven Crowder, the Boston Globe, or Michael Savage would say because it's being said by them.
No, not necessarily that. Okay. You're going to accept what they say because they say what you want to hear. Confirmation bias is an unconscious validation of your own worldview, right? You believe something to be true, and so you seek out information that informs that truth, even if it's not necessarily true, even if it's not necessarily accurate.
Well, we all do that, don't we? I mean, are you saying you never do that? Okay.
We all do that, and it's important to fight yourself against it. And this is why you won't find me sourcing things like Think Progress or Being Liberal or anything like that in my videos. I am very aware of confirmation bias and how it informs people's worldviews, warps their worldviews, and how detrimental it is to civic discourse. So I purposefully try to find the most neutral position I can. And you might not like it, but I think CNN, New York Times, and Washington Post tend to entail that.
Are those the sources that you use?
I use a lot of sources, but yeah, I would say your typical mainstream media sources for all the bitching people do about how it's fake news tend to be pretty accurate. If you like, I have a website I can send you called Media Bias Fact Check, and it basically lists certain media outlets and determines how truthful they are, weighs it on a scale, how biased they are. Like, certain media can be factual in their reporting, but they can use loaded words, right? Like, you know, I mean, this an extreme example, but let's think Stormfront, right? Here's a story. Black man beats white man to death over $15 in armed robbery, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, CNN headline might be, you know, armed robbery gone wrong. You know, they might even play up a racial element, right? You know, black man murders other and armed robbery go wrong. Stormfront might read, you know, nigger slays, you know, innocent, you know, victim such and such year old, harmless man in robbery, you know, they use very loaded words, even if the information is factually correct. Mm-hmm. And I hope that word didn't offend you. But,
okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go on.
Well, I'm having trouble tracking down the website where I found that information, but
here
it is on townhall.com, latimes.com. So, I mean, you know, it was rounded up, you know, in the news cycle.
Sure.
This comes from townhall.com. California's Attorney General Xavier Becerra, I guess. Warned. I know the roll of my tongue is horrible.
Don't worry about it. Hey, you tried.
Warned businesses that they will be prosecuted for helping federal law enforcement officers with immigration sweeps. Now, like I said, that puts business owners in quite a pickle, don't you think?
Repeat that again, please.
Okay. California's Attorney General Xavier Becerra warned businesses that they will be prosecuted for helping federal law enforcement officers with immigration sweeps. So either they're going to disobey state law or they're going to disobey federal law.
Does it say what they'll be prosecuted on?
Well, hang on. Let's look a little further. That if they voluntarily start giving up information about their employees or access to their employees in ways that contradict our new California laws, they subject themselves to actions by my office, we will prosecute those who violate the law. Businesses okay. could be fined up to $10,000 for assisting federal immigration authorities. And that will wreck a business locally.
Okay. What are these new laws, though? I mean, I need specifics.
Well, hang on. Let's see if it's
law. You can't provide federal authorities the name and social security of everybody you work with.
The Immigrant Worker Protection Act, signed by Governor Jerry Brown, this past 2017 January 1st, seeks to prevent all workers, regardless of immigration status, from being detained at workplaces. But that is in opposition to federal law. Obviously, it came out of his mouth. So
in opposition to federal law.
What do you mean?
Well, this might be pedantic, but it seems like it's just in the interest of protecting workers from being arrested while at work.
Mm. So you're saying they're not safe outside of work, or what?
Doesn't sound like it.
Hmm. If you think ICE is going away, we're not. There's no sanctuary from federal law enforcement, ICE Director Thomas Homan said during an interview with Neil Cavuto, Whatever on the Cavuto. California better... Well, the ICE director continues here. California better hold on tight. They're about to see a lot more special agents, a lot more deportation officers in the state. If the politicians in California don't want to protect their communities, then ICE will. So we are going to have a quagmire at the state and federal levels on this. I mean, they're going to butt heads. They already are with the government shutdown, so...
Yeah.
How does this government shutdown affect ICE agents? Are they?
I think they're essential, but I'm honestly not sure.
Hmm. So essential is still active.
Yes, but I'm honestly not sure.
Okay. Do you have any further comments on that? Because that seems like a paradox to me.
I think the issue is sanctuary cities at broad, right?
Yeah.
This is a matter of law enforcement. Most places don't want their residents to be afraid of being deported. People are more likely to talk about a crime they witnessed, for example, if they're not worried that they're going to be deported when they talk to the authorities. So this is how sanctuary cities work, because sometimes you'll have crimes committed in immigrant neighborhoods and you can't find anybody to talk because they're scared. So it depends on your interests, right? You know, if you're non-criminal illegal, figure that one out, oxymoronic, you know, and you witnessed a crime, your testimony is valuable. But if you're that non-criminal illegal and you're not going to testify because you're afraid of being deported, you know, you need some guarantees. And I think that's what sanctuary cities are. It's a guarantee that they're not going to report you to the authorities. Just help us out and solve this crime.
I mean, is that technically turning state's evidence, or...
Was that what?
No, never mind. It's been a long day. Forget it.
It's not a perfect system. Ultimately, the federal authorities would have to solve the immigration crisis on its own. It is unrealistic to deport the 12 million illegals already here. So something needs to be figured out. But for the ones that are here, right, crimes are going to happen no matter what. Not necessarily by illegals. Sometimes crimes happen to them. You need these people to testify, right? Because, you know, if an illegal is victimized in one crime, what's to say a citizen won't be in the next, right? So you want these people to not be afraid of being deported. You want them to work with their law enforcement. I mean, does that make sense?
There's only so much room in America. How can we stem the influx of border crossers? Don't you think that we need to eventually say, you know, we've got all we can take?
Not necessarily. I think immigration is good to the economy.
How?
It's a transfer of labor. It's the free movement of labor. This typically is a libertarian position.
Do you mean that they'll be willing to work for less?
To some degree.
I don't think that's right. I don't think that they should be expected to work for less because of where they came from. But I do think they should come here legally.
I think they should expect to be paid what the market's going to pay them, by and large.
See,
But
the market, or the wage thing is actually something that I consider myself liberal on, being someone who considers himself marginalized in the workforce himself, even though I'm white. That's why I cringe when I hear the term white privilege, you know, because, I mean, I'm surrounded by different ethnicities and genders who make more than me, okay? Because I'm part-time, they're full-time, and so I don't see evidence of the wage gap quite as much. But I am actually liberal on the concept that, yes, I do support a minimum wage, and I know a lot on my side think, no, let the markets decide, but or let the businesses decide. But if you let the businesses decide, the worker gets fucked almost every time. How can you? That's a naive position on our side. That's one where we fork.
A little bit.
We fork in the road on that one, me and my people.
Let's get back to the original question, though.
Oh, okay.
The original question was, at what point do we close the doors and say enough is enough?
Okay, yeah.
You're never going to live in a world where we stop immigration wholesale, ever. You know, even if you do, they're going to still come. So divorce yourself from that idea altogether. Now let's figure out what can we do to do it intelligently, right? Because this is a global economy. You're a citizen of Earth for all intents and purposes. You share this world. Labor is going to move here no matter what. Figure out the way to do it intelligently. How do you streamline this process so that it benefits everybody? Right? You can't put a quota system. Quota systems don't work.
Okay, well, you've stumped me. How would you recommend changing this then?
Well, if you want to stop immigration from Mexico or from the Central Americas or South America, you fix Mexico's economy, but that's about as realistic as a border wall. It's not going to happen.
That would entail more intervention, and which most people claim they want to get away. They want us to get away from, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm not most people. I would say, it would be great if we could help Mexico out. It would be great if we could basically nation build in Mexico, but we can't.
How? Help them how? What is their major malfunction? Is it a military? Is it social, economic? What?
It's economic.
Okay.
Their wages are suppressed. They don't have, they're not free, basically, in a strictly business sense, which is why their labor tends to move here. There's more opportunities, economically speaking, than there is in Mexico.
Are you suggesting we export labor over there? I don't know.
I wouldn't necessarily suggest that. I would suggest that if you want to help Mexico's economy, and bear in mind, I'm not an economist, I'm not an expert, but the way you would fix it is with a proper infrastructure, first and foremost.
Sounds like we would be meddling in Mexico's sovereignty. I mean, it just sounds like more interventionism, and I know a lot of people on the left and right who want to desperately move away from that and leave other countries to manage themselves as they see fit. I mean,
the question was, how do you stop illegal immigration? You stop it by fixing Mexico's economy. If you don't want to intervene, don't intervene. Fine. But you're going to have to deal with illegal immigration.
I'm
right?
still it, not it's, clear on how we could fix Mexico's economy.
We can't. I'm saying that it's not a realistic solution. It's the best hypothetical solution there is. The realistic solution, you streamline our immigration process and make it a little more seamless. You know, instead of requiring permanent resident status with a green card for 10 years or 5 years, just skip that entire process and just allow for citizenship application immediately. But most people wouldn't go along with that.
You know, speaking of California, we did talk about California briefly earlier. Do you agree that the new law that allows people to conceal any disease they might have with their sexual partners, to conceal that? I mean, would you agree that that's insanity, or has that been conflated to in your eyes?
I think you've misunderstood the law.
What is the law?
The law doesn't allow you to conceal any disease you may have for the purposes of going out and having sex and spreading the disease. The law simply changes it for HIV from a felony to a misdemeanor so that you're more likely to get tested.
Okay, so that was people writing articles jumping the gun and saying, You know, okay, so this is no longer a felony. This is no longer a felony, so they're basically saying, hey, you know, you can go out and give people AIDS. It was people.
That's precisely what that's happening.
Okay. That's a little bit of a relief. But
like
why?
I said, man,
why?
It helps to fact check these things on your own. And I would say just run your sites through Media Bias Fact Check. Look for the one you like that is the least biased, least loaded words you can find, the most factual that you can find, and use that as your go-to source.
The problem is that I'm sure that a lot of sources that they would recommend to me would not fly with me. That's
why?
Likes, like CNN.
Okay, why?
Washington, it's too much to get into, dude. If you're familiar with everything the right has been tangled up in with CNN, including the blackmail of that guy over a fucking Trump GIF, they've got plenty of dirt on their faces. I don't feel like getting into it too much, but media fact check bias. I just have a feeling that they would be like Snopes trying to reform information in a way that is not palatable to me. Like Snopes.
Well, what do you want? Do you want information that is formed in a way that's palatable to you, or do you want the truth?
I want it that's formed in a palatable way to me, because I am an existentialist at heart. I am not like firmly embedded in absolute logic and empiricist thinking. I'm an existentialist, so I do believe, even though I am not an ally of the LGBT initiative of, you know, trans person, you know, total acceptance and pronoun laws and all this, I still... Are you familiar with what an existentialist is?
No, why don't you explain it?
Well, I mean, that's another thing that would be too long and complicated to get into, and we're at an hour... we're at 90 minutes, you know. I would love to do this again sometime, but an existentialist basically says, all right, this is how I define my life. This is how, you know, this is how it works best for me, and I'm going to go out and live it, you know, consequences and all. Now, I have a mind that does veer towards the fantastical in some ways. I don't think that Alex Jones's circus behavior at times totally circumvents the information he is presenting when he's waving the papers right there at the camera saying, this is my source, this is where I got this from, and he's weeks and sometimes months ahead of mainstream legacy media. And I will be glad to give you examples of that in the next few days. Was that a little snarky there?
Have you ever heard a phrase, a blind squirrel finds an acorn now and again?
So, in other words, a clock can be a dead
broken clock.
Broken clock
is right twice a day?
Exactly, yeah. That's what.
Yes, occasionally you get lucky.
Yeah.
But I think here's a good rule of thumb. If you wouldn't cite it in a school paper, like if your professor would reject this as a source, it's probably not a good source.
Well, see, that's the thing, though. We don't live in a classroom. I'm kind of anti-academia. I eschewed college, you know, and I'm sure that some people on your side who may hear this may use that as something of detriment to me, but it's not something where I feel I'm getting smarter in a classroom. And yeah, okay. You know, there are some things in my life that, you know, I have not made the best decision on, but, you know, I've accepted that, you know, this is my path and so be it. I would
say that no society ever suffered from becoming too rational. So it never hurts to educate yourself.
Well, this term...
I'm not saying this is like a liberal out to get you. I'm saying, you know...
I think you've been more than reasonable. So, you know, I'm not... My shield's not up right now. If you wanted to, you could take me down right now because my shield's not up. But whatever. I think that you've been more than reasonable... And God, man, I still had like a few paragraphs to get to, but I don't know. Do we want to go a little bit longer? Or
how about can you do it in another 15 minutes?
I can try. Do you feel that Silicon Valley, Google, and the social media hubs have kind of exhibited an overreach when it comes to conservative voices? The deplatforming you mentioned earlier and how you were, in fact, not in favor of that. Don't you believe that they've kind of overreached on that the last 6 to 8 months?
I think that's a very simplistic question to a very complicated issue. I don't think you should necessarily silence conservative voices. But that said, these are private platforms. You know, if you don't like it, start your own, go to your own, do whatever. You don't have to use their platforms. But there's also a bit of a crisis with fake news, right? You have people purposely manufacturing bullshit to influence public policy. And, you might not believe that Russia interfered with our election, but let's assume they did. Let's assume that a foreign government could influence the outcome of something as important as a leadership election by manufacturing bullshit, and it gets shared on social media. I think for the public discourse, the good of the public discourse, there might be an interest in curbing and monitoring these kinds of things.
You know that once government, like, firmly gets their hands into telling media how to report, I mean, then you could have a fascist situation right there. I don't think that's a good idea to regulate news.
Well,
now,
telling the government to do anything. You asked about if Silicon Valley to do it, right? That's not government.
No, but I mean, what about corporate personhood? Would you agree that that's a problem?
Yeah, I'm not a particular fan of
the idea that a corporation has as many rights as you or I. I find that an insult to our forefathers. I find that an insult to us. That any corporation could have the same rights that we enjoy.
Well, they don't necessarily have the same rights. This is a bit of a misstatement. The issue was about free speech. Do they have a right to free speech? And I think what the Supreme Court ultimately determined was that corporations could basically donate unlimited amounts of money to political campaigns of a certain type, as opposed to the natural federal limitation of it, which is like $2,500 or something. You're referring to Citizens United. They don't technically have personhood. Like, it's not one of these things where they can be put on trial and executed. Like, I've seen the meme, like, I believe corporations are people when Texas executes one. But it's not technically that. It's a matter of free speech. I think the Supreme Court was wrong. I don't think you should have the right to pump as much money as you want into an election. I think money is an influencing factor, and you should have to play by the same rules as anybody else, which is you're limited by X amount.
I think I can get behind that. Yeah. Do you think that the news cycle is 24/7 now? So it's sometimes it's hard to keep things straight in your mind, but you remember the fallout with the whole James Damore, Google conflict, yeah, right? Do you think they were right to fire him?
I don't know. It depends. I don't know the specific circumstances of his workplace. Like, he writes this paper. Do I think they're right to fire him just on that paper alone? No. But if, you know, him writing this paper ends up creating this huge conflict with the people he works with, and it basically becomes a hostile workplace, well, then you got to consider this, right? You need productive workers, and you can't have it if you've got some guy who's being an asshole talking about how women aren't logical. So, I mean, there's other things to consider with this. Right to fire him? No, I don't think it's right to deprive somebody of their livelihood for an opinion. But there's more to it than just that, right? There's a reason you don't go out on your social media and start spouting white supremacist nonsense and then act shocked or aghast when your employer finds out and they decide they don't want to be associated with you.
You know, I have heard it said from my more, I don't know, fringe-minded friends that, well, they egged me on one day to type into a search engine, happy white couple, and what comes up but a bunch of pictures of black couples. Now,
That's hilarious.
I mean, I find it odd. I don't know what the point was. And I honestly don't even know why the guy must have heard it down through the grapevine, like, kind of like, dude, if you fold the dollar bill a certain way, then you can see the towers fall, and that kind of lore, right? That urban legend shit, right?
Yep.
But the question is, why does that show up when you type happy white couple into a search engine? Now, it's not a big deal. It's just kind of a weird side thing that you might notice. It's weird, though.
I'm curious what that has to do with anything.
Well, I mean, you know, the first thing that comes to mind with me is, you know, Google gaslighting us. Not so much as a fact, but just as something that I would entertain for, like, a split second.
Oh, I see.
See, you got to understand, I used to be a fiction author, so that has something to do with it, too.
Sure.
Okay.
If you're asking for a solution to the fear of getting gaslit by Google, my solution is that there are other search engines that you could use if you wanted to, right? Marketplace of ideas, right?
Yep.
There's also a marketplace of search engines. Knock yourself out.
Yeah. Something else I have a problem with the left with, and I would hope we can agree on this one. I think we have been more amicable than I actually anticipated.
You asshole.
Fuck you. But no, there's this guy. I don't know what his whole deal is, but I guess he champions himself on, you know, outwitting conservatives and such. Did you mention him earlier? The Destiny guy? Did you mention him?
Yes.
Okay. He has been arguing for ethical child porn. I mean, now, if you have watched any of his streams, you're probably familiar, but yes. I can't. Is he trolling? He can't be serious with this shit. He thinks that by using this as a therapeutic tool for pedophiles that they will not go out and harm an actual child, but someone was still abused. Understand?
Okay.
With whatever they're using as therapy, I just think that was a waste of taxpayer dollars to even fund as a study. And he's
as a study,
huh?
It wasn't funded as a study. It was proposed as an idea.
But who proposes that?
If psychologists who are noticing a link between the use of pornography and a drop in sexual crimes. That has been confirmed. But I think you're misunderstanding Destiny, and I don't, you know, I have my own problems with Destiny. That's not one of them. I like him, actually. I think he's very entertaining. I think he can cut through certain things like a hot knife through butter. But what he said with regards to child pornography was that it's determined that the use of child pornography prevents or lowers the instances of child rape, that's a worthy trade-off. I agree, right? You do what works. This isn't the perfect world. Yes, you're always going to have child pornography. There's always going to be a market for it, and there's always going to be child rape. You simply create the best atmosphere for reducing these bad things. If that's the case, then yeah. If it works, I mean, that's the operative question, right? What if it works? What if making child pornography available as a therapeutic tool to pedophiles reduces the numbers of child rape? Is it worth doing?
Well,
I say yes.
I just think you got to say no on that one. No. I mean, I just find it odd that it would even be brought up. I mean, it's like the leftovers of, Alfred Kinsey? Was that his name?
Yeah.
He first proposed this kind of shit. Dude, there are some places you don't go in your dark mind, and that should be one of them. And I just find it odd that I have to defend the position. Why do you want to reform them? They have committed the ultimate taboo to life, to innocent life.
Because they exist, right? You want to fix them.
These
are people who exist. You got to figure out how you deal with
them. Most people don't want to fix them. Most people want them to be reviled and shunned for life. I mean, now it's different if someone's entrapped on To Catch a Predator and it ends up like getting thrown out, you know. That's different. You know, I don't believe that everyone who got suckered into that shit is necessarily a predator. I think they were just dumb and bored, some of them. But I've got to insist very strongly that we steer away from this kind of thinking that they need therapeutic assistance to be reformed. That you just have to control yourself and say there are some taboos you do not inflict on innocent life in the world. I mean,
talk about those taboos. What's worse, raping a child or child pornography?
What does it matter? Because someone was raped either way.
Okay, well, that's true.
What are you going to do? Are you going to ask for the consent of the abusee?
Yes, that was the idea.
Who would do that?
I don't know. Somebody who's interested in protecting children from being raped in the future. You don't want to help these people. That's fine. I don't want to help them either.
Okay, well, that's cool. That's
about
good.
Pedophiles. I care about the child they're going to victimize. And if I can save any child through this idea, you know, then I'm for it. Do what works.
I think that's a good place to end it. Not because I think that's a breaking point or anything, but
yes,
I mean, we've explored a lot of ideas in approximately 2 hours. And
if your conversation goes into child fucking, you've probably talked too long.
Yeah, we jumped the shark about 20 minutes ago, I guess. Okay, I don't know. Do you want to give your name, or do you just want to stick with Liberal Sanity Project?
Well, is it all right if I advertise myself real quick?
Yeah, plug whatever you want.
If you enjoyed listening to those on the podcast, I am the Liberal Sanity Project. You can find me on Twitter at the LS Project, or you can find my YouTube, the Liberal Sanity Project. See the kinds of videos I produce. I highly recommend you check them out. They're not all that bad. Might even be a good reputable opportunity for you. And thanks.
Alternative, is that what you said?
A red pill opportunity is what I said.
Okay. Well, I think that this has been the productive conversation we sought. I don't know how you feel about it, but honestly, I would like to continue it in a series, like incrementally, because I feel there is a lot to be gleaned from these ideas. I don't agree on every conclusion you reached, and you don't agree on a lot of them that I reached. But I respect that you are trying to restore something that was broken in this country, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, maybe longer, probably longer. So,
yeah,
I would advocate for liberal sanity. I would love to have it back. I used to consider myself a liberal.
Come back to us.
I can't, man. Maybe when your work is done. But, well, thank you, and I'll let you know when this is posted.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Thank you, dude.